Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the build-up show, Liverpool Inter Milan, a place in the Champions League quarterfinals up for grabs. I'm Paul Machin, Dan Clubb and Ian Young join me in the studio for this one. Dan, let's call it what it is, it's 1 foot there already.
Yeah.
It feels a bit of a weird one because it's mad to kind of have this game against Inter Milan. You know, it's going to be under the lights at Anfield Tuesday night, ostensibly to, you know, massive football clubs, mm-hmm. historic, you know, football clubs. And I don't want to feel complacent about this in any way, shape or form. I'm really hoping for something big, and I don't know whether that requires, I hope it doesn't require Liverpool to do something stupid mm-hmm. in order to get to that. But this very much feels like there's just bigger prizes at stake. Professionalism is the order of the day.
Yeah, definitely. It does feel like that because obviously we pretty much had the best Inter Milan had to offer, I felt, especially in that second half in the San Siro. They looked as if they'd give their sort of 10, 15, 20 minutes worth of best football they've played all season, and then we scored twice. Yeah. And if you looked at their faces when we scored the second, they looked shell-shocked.
Yeah.
Because they'd give us everything, and they were a good side for that little period. I thought mm-hmm. we were on the ropes, if anything. And they looked as if they'd thrown everything at us, and then we scored twice in 8 minutes. And if we can do that there, then in theory, we should be relatively comfortable at Anfield. Because like you say, it's got all them factors, the Anfield crowd, European nights, etc., etc., etc. Complacency is the only concern. But this Liverpool side doesn't do complacency.
Well, definitely. Oh, it's true though, isn't it? That game was such an odd one, wasn't it, Ian? Because like, everything Dan says there is true. There was a real sense of, I remember us doing the final word show afterwards and talking about it and how Inter felt as though all the momentum was them. Like that second half, they really kicked on and it was going to be interesting to see how Liverpool handled it. When Liverpool scored the goals, it was like, oh, that's not meant to happen. The crowd are up, we're getting into the ascendancy, and then Liverpool just basically knocked them out. And it was a... I feel like there was a real chastening of Inter Milan there. Their form's fallen off a bit of a cliff since, albeit recovered on Friday night, which we'll discuss. But yeah, I kind of tend to agree with Dan there. These are the champions, you know, the Italian champions, the second in the league at the moment. They win the game in hand, they'll go top. But I feel like if we can go away and win 2-0, I don't feel overly concerned about this.
I remember after the game, there was a big negative about Liverpool's performance, mm-hmm. Which I found absolutely shocking.
Well, there's some professional FIFA player, I think, who was so much out.
They
battered us and we were lucky and got out coached and all that kind of stuff. Which was horseshit, by
the way. But if you go back 15 years ago, when Rafa's your manager, that's a professional away performance in Europe. Yeah. But because Klopp plays the way he plays, there was a bit of negativity around it. The good thing about winning 2-0 at their ground is if they're going to progress, they have to come out tomorrow night, yep. and that leaves lots of space for us to do. So if we're just professional and we're not stupid and we don't do gung-ho, we should get the job done.
It's funny because just looking at the stats from that game, just a reminder of everyone of how Klopp was out-coached. Inter Milan had 9 shots, Liverpool's 13. Liverpool had two shots on target of those to Inter Milan's zero. Liverpool had 54% of the possession, more passes, greater pass accuracy. Yeah, it was, I feel like it was a little overstated, and that's not to say that they didn't cause us issues. You know, you know, Calhanoglu in the crossbar was a big moment early on. They've clearly got quality, but again, it's hard to sit here and make. I'm trying to draw feelings that I don't have about Inter Milan here. I felt this when we played Atletico. I felt this when we played AC. I just think there's a gulf between the two teams.
Yeah, massively. And the Atletico one is a really good reference point because sort of both games remind me of that tie. Because obviously we played Atletico in the group stages, so it is different. But the away game in Inter Milan reminded me of Atletico game without all the goals, obviously. And I can only see a similar thing happening tomorrow night in the terms of Atletico had to come out and play when they came to Anfield.
Yeah.
And Inter Milan have got to do the same. And that just plays so far into our hands, it's untrue. And we can just pick them off and potentially kill that game quite quickly. What I will say is, in terms of the first leg, is the game is skewed on that 20-minute period, I think, at the start of the second half. I think it was really even first half.
Yeah.
And then they come flying out the blocks, and people only really remember that. Well, we were on the ropes, let's have it right, but they have got quality players, you know, they're Serie A champions. They're going to cause teams problems, but we handled it, and we've handled AC Milan, and we've handled Atletico Madrid. So really, we should be okay.
Yeah, exactly that. And look, Perisic gave Trent a tricky evening, I think it's fair to say. I thought it was quite interesting. Trent's performance at the weekend was a nice one. I think Ross was handling the socials at the weekend, put this out about like how anyone who thinks this idea that Trent's not very good defensively kind of got that, you know, slapped in the face a little bit. Klopp talked about it, you know, like, I like when Klopp gets asked these questions that only seem to exist on social media and he's like, what? Who says that? Genuinely, someone says that. But, you know, to the credit, Perisic did have a good old game. He's got pace. He can cause problems. Seeing Lautaro Martinez got a hat-trick on Friday night against Salernitana. Zecha was their top goal scorer, bagged a couple in that game. I think we need to be wary of that. And the one thing, going back to those games that I mentioned, that AC Milan game, We're the agent of our own demise a little bit in that. We were playing probably some of the best football I've ever seen at Anfield. Yeah. And then we started playing some silly passes. We started getting this complacency that we mentioned early. They'll have, you mentioned it before, they're going to have to come at us. They're going to have to look to try and sting us. I'd back us to do it, but we can't be stupid either.
No, I don't think we'll be stupid either. And I think something to Trent really is a very intelligent footballer, and the things that he thinks he needed to be stronger with against Perisic, against Inter Milan, I think he'll learn from that, and I think he'll be stronger tomorrow night. I think that's just the type of player Trent is. I'm a bit like you, Chris.
That's fine.
I'm a bit appalled.
I better take off this all the time.
Sorry, but I'm a bit like you that I'm not overly concerned about the game, Paul. I'm a bit.
Yeah, well done there, second time.
Make sure I got it this time. I'm learning like Trent. I just don't see a massive issue. But I think if we're professional about it, we'll get there. We'll get the points, and we'll be through to the next round.
Yeah, obviously, fingers crossed. At the moment, I mentioned this before. Obviously, Perisic is a doubt for this game, so it might play into Liverpool's hands. They had Matteo Darmian playing there on Friday night, which is a funny old blast from the
He's
past.
Step down, isn't it?
Yeah, that, well, yeah. I mean, at the risk of, like, you know, famous last words and all that kind of
I'll
stuff.
I'll say it if you want. Yeah.
But I just. They have got quality, and they have got, I don't know, it's hard to Liverpool to go and prove it, because I honestly thought at the weekend, I think we made harder work at West Ham than maybe we should have done, Dan, you know, in some regards. And I thought West Ham would tire, and I thought Liverpool would take the game away from them. But it does go to show that if you've got a game plan and you've got a little bit of quality in the right areas, they can cause problems. But that's what the onus is on Liverpool. And the onus isn't actually on Liverpool. So maybe I'm putting more pressure on them than needs be, because let's be honest, we could just sit in and defend for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
There actually isn't an onus on Liverpool to attack, but equally, you'd be thinking, because of the no away goals thing, go and get a goal in the first half and you've basically put this game to bed.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we weren't vintage Liverpool by any stretch, I thought, on Saturday, but we obviously did enough to get the job done. I think we've spoken about it in the previous show, I think David Moyes should get a decent amount of credit, and I don't say that easily because I'm not a big David Moyes fan, but his game plan worked well. The only thing is, Inter Milan have to play a different game plan to what David Moyes brought to Liverpool on Saturday. They have to come out and be the aggressors in this game. They can't afford to sit back and maybe nick one on the counter, which is what essentially West Ham were trying to do for large periods. They have to try and get the ball down and try and be the ones playing, and that just suits us down to the ground. Like, how many times have we seen teams come and try and play Liverpool at their own game and we just dismantle them? Yeah. And that's why I always refer back to that Atletico Madrid game. They had to come to Anfield and go against everything they would have. Diego Simeone would have been crying out inside to come and sit back, but he couldn't. Mm-hmm. And Inter Milan, if they'd have got a decent result in Milan a couple of weeks ago, would have done very similar, but they can't.
Yeah.
They've got to come and play, and I just think we pick them up. But I am very often confident about Liverpool games. But I am extremely confident for tomorrow night.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, notwithstanding the fact that, as mentioned, Friday night, 5-0 win over Salerno Tana. This is how they lined up. They had Handanovic, Skrinar, De Vrij, Bastoni as the back three. Dumfries, Barella, Brozovic, Çalhanoğlu and Darmian in the midfield. And Deco Martinez up front. And what really interesting about Lautaro Martinez is, like, he had this incredible goal scoring run in the first half of the season. And that's the first goals he scored in Serie A since December. I think that the 22nd December was the last time he'd done. Now, he took his goals really well. But he was the one I'm really hoping, Ian, that... Yes, you know, they'll be hoping that that's his confidence restored and he can go back to being the machine that he was in the first half of the season. I'm fingers crossed hoping that he remains the guy who absolutely pooed his pants when he was running towards Virgil van Dijk in the first leg, because obviously Zecho's a threat. We know Zecho can be a threat, but he's the one, I think, who's got more of the skill set that could hurt us. But yeah, it was a real... It felt like an eye-opener for him in that last game when he's running through. In Serie A, he's tearing towards the goal. He sees Virgil van Dijk in front of him and takes a casual detour as far away from him as possible.
I think I said at the time when the final word show after the game was that it was as if Virgil van Dijk had like a gamepad and he was controlling where Martinez was going. He was totally in control of that position. I think Martinez is the type of player that Van Dijk likes to play up against. Less so Dzeko. I think Dzeko will give him a bit more of a try. Well, he'll try and nudge Virgil van Dijk out the game. He won't get very far. He won't get very far, really. But he's the one who you'd think, if anybody was going to get a glimmer against Van Dijk, it'd probably be Dzeko. I think Van Dijk very much... is more than a match for Martinez. As good as Martinez has been like the start of the season, when you think of Inter Milan, you think of Martinez. I think Dzeko's probably the one who I'd be more concerned with, but he's like, what, 97?
Yeah, but basically, 100%. Just in terms of how their goals have been spread out so far this season, all comps,
Dzeko. Yeah, has he, Martinez, in the Champions League?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I know you're about to say that, but that's mad, isn't it?
Yeah,
I really like him, but he hasn't scored in the Champions League yet.
Yeah,
which is crazy. Like,
yeah, let's make sure that continues and that can go on for another season at the very least. But yeah, all comps. This is 37 played from Dzeko, 16 goals, 6 assists. He defies age and logic, as all players do in Serie A, to be fair. So really, actually, horseshit what I've just said there.
Yeah.
Everyone goes on forever in Serie A. Martinez, 15 goals, 2 assists, and then Çalhanoğlu's there with 6 goals and 8 beneath that. And then Alexis Sanchez, the lesser spotted, albeit he is the man, the face of our thumbnail for this show. We kind of know what we're going to get from them at this point. We are going to have a little discussion. We started this a few weeks ago, that John Motson's picked his top 50 commentary moments of all time. We're going to talk about the top 10 in a sec. And when we return from that, we're going to be looking at the Liverpool lineup and what that could potentially be as well. But I've got a trivia question, which we will answer in a few moments. Seven former Liverpool players have also played for Inter Milan. Two of them were actually direct transfers as well. I want the seven former Liverpool players. I want you to name them. Do it in the comments. Do it in the Discord group. And some major bragging rights will be on the line if you manage to get all of those right. Without obviously Googling them, which is the easiest answer to all of that. One or two, I was a little bit, oh yeah, remember him. So yeah, plumb the depths of your football and Liverpool trivia knowledge and I'll give the answers in a little bit.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. Hopefully you are enjoying this podcast. Just want to let you guys know, if you want even more Red Men TV goodness in your ears, every single show that we produce over on our subscription service, Red Men Plus, also comes in podcast format. So you can get all of our amazing content on the go. Hopefully you enjoyed that one and hopefully you enjoyed the rest of the show.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Sound. Let's fly back into it then. The trivia question was, seven former Liverpool players have also played for Inter Milan.
I can only think of two.
Well, do you think of the two?
I said Ince and Robbie Keane.
Wow, yeah, Ince, Paul Ince, Robbie Keane.
Yeah, Balotelli, Coutinho.
Yeah. In fact, you've mentioned the two direct transfers there were Paul Ince and Phil Coutinho, the only two transfers between the clubs.
£7.5 million for Coutinho.
I know, ridiculous, isn't it? So we got Balotelli, Coutinho, Ince, Keane. There's three more.
I want to say a random goalie. Is there a goalie in there?
There is a very random goalie in there.
Not Donny.
Yeah. Perhaps one of the most beautiful men ever to play in goal. It's maybe just his baby blue eyes that just stuck out to me. I know, but I'm not even helping there. He's a very, very obscure. I think he maybe once a maximum of two appearances for us. In the North.
Cavalieri?
Jones?
No, but it's... No, definitely.
They have signed some random players into Milan, to be fair.
They have signed some very, very random players indeed. Okay, well, we'll circle back to him. I'll see if the comments get to that in a second. Yeah. Two more. Both wingers, attacking mids. One of them definitely a winger. Only played for Liverpool on loan. And the other one won the league and the European Cup with us in the last few seasons.
Hey.
Jaden.
Jaden. There you go. Silly Big Shaq, the power cube himself.
And played on loan was the other one.
Yep.
Aquilani was never there, was he?
Nope.
No.
Sahin.
Who?
Played for
Sahin, nope.
No.
Oh no, no, Sahin. He was Dortmund, wasn't he?
The answer was Victor Moses.
Victor Moses.
Oh, yeah, never getting that.
And the other, if you've gotten this, by the way, I don't think anyone got this in the comments, shout me out if you did, Daniele Pedeli.
Pedeli, okay. Yeah.
stunning human being, by the way. I don't know if he still
did he
is.
Play for, did he actually play?
I think he got white.
I think he played against Charlton, I think, and I just remembered him pushing everything out.
So, yeah, if you got all seven of them, you're an absolute genius. Give yourself a huge pat on the back. You're amazing. I hope you have a wonderful day in life. right, Sam. Let's talk about Liverpool and how they're going to get into this game. John Matip missed the game at the weekend, Dan, with illness. There's no, I don't think there's any great pressure to bring him back in for this, but I think we're reaching a situation where when Matip's available, Matip plays.
Yeah.
If Canate has to play, I think it's a big shrug. I think particularly because the Zecho thing, I've got no problem with him going up against him. He's actually had a really good record playing against tall, ageing target men, centre forward. I think he's done a good job of that so far. Either way, it's a pretty comfortable position to be in.
Yeah, it's much of a muchness, isn't it? I think Canate's performance on the weekend pretty much reaffirmed what we'd all been saying in terms of he is top class and he's also suited to playing against players like Michel Antonio. So I've got no issue, really, whichever one of them plays. I think you're right in terms of we'd rather, and Klopp would rather, have Matip's experience and know-how of these sort of games, if possible. But at the same time, if it was Canate, I don't think anyone bats an eyelid.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's good. Yeah, no, I completely agree. Every time I watch Canate play, you can just see the future of Liverpool there. And I get that too with Joe Gomez, but I think Joe Gomez has got a bit of a mountain to climb at this point. And I'd back him to do it because I think he's a terrific player too. But you look at Canate and it's like someone's made this hybrid between Van Dijk and Matip to some extent. You know, he's huge. He's so strong. He's got incredible pace. He reads the game pretty well. And look, there's definitely some rough edges that still need to be sanded off. But the beauty is that, cool. I mean, there's a chance that we've got this lad here who, in any bygone era of Liverpool, you'd just be in. And he'd be playing every week. And we can afford to go, actually, maybe we don't play him against Inter Milan. Maybe we can just put one of our other world-class centre-halves in.
I can't remember Virgil van Dijk when he was 22, 23, but I can't imagine being much different from Canate. Canate is absolutely phenomenal for his age because it's centre-half's a position you grow into as you get older and you don't normally reach what you're going to be to, like 27, 28. So it's scary to me, scary to me what Canate can be because he's an absolute beast. I said it before on the Final Word show that people say that if you can make the perfect central defender on a computer, you normally come up with Van Dijk. I think you pretty much say the same for Canate. Now he's got everything. He's absolutely huge. He's got pace. He can pass. He can tackle when needed to. Mm-hmm. But also, like Van Dijk, he's clever enough that he doesn't make tackles that he doesn't need to make either.
Yeah.
So Canate is just, it's nice that you don't have to play him every game, but I think if he's playing for any other Premier League team in the country, he starts every game.
I completely agree with that. I mean, the one thing we talked about, they're not in Martinez and Zecha, there's not tons of pace. Martinez is not slow, but he's also not an absolute speed merchant. No. If they're forced to go with Darmian down that side, if Perisic can't make the 11, then that does hamper a little bit what we're doing. And maybe it's one of those situations where Matip would come back in. But I wonder if this is just a nice carrot there for Canate and just go, you know, yeah, you know, there's no need for us to rush Matip back. If he's been ill, then there's plenty of other games for Matip to come back into. Reward Canate, give him another game back to back, big Champions League game, another nice test for him. What I'm kind of driving is that you'll learn more, I think, from giving this game to Canate than Matip. Listen, when we get to the really, really business end of this tournament, if we get that far, at this point, I think Matip will always come in for the must-win games, the big games. But this is a nice, let's say it's a free hit because it's a tough game against Inter Milan, but it actually, there's a potential great learning opportunity to give Canate another.
Yeah, there is, and I think it is a really good opportunity because we haven't seen him play back-to-back very often, have we? We've seen him sort of dropped in and out of games quite a lot, but this, to me, smacks of a chance to give him that back-to-back game. And it's testament to how well he's done. I mean, you both waxed lyrical about his quality there, and I completely agree. That foot race with Michel Antonio, I thought, was a really nice moment on Saturday. But yeah, he's got everything required, and I've got absolutely no qualms about him playing in this game, and that just shows how well he's done in his short Liverpool career so far. I mean, I said in the show earlier, I think he's played 18 times and we haven't lost yet, and there's 8 clean sheets in that. Well, so one of them would do.
Well, it's funny, isn't it, because everyone's going about this Virgil van Dijk unbeating the home record, and like quietly Canate is just building up his own little one along the way. No, it's a very encouraging situation to be in, to be perfectly honest. I mean, it does go back to that conversation of like, I'm really not certain how Gomez gets the run of games that he needs, but at this point, you know, it's like there's a lot, you can always find things to worry about, can't you? Instead of looking at the positives, Liverpool have got three largely fit and in form centre halves to pick from this game. The Gomez stuff, he might find himself in a position where you'll get a few isolated runs. I mean, look, for Liverpool's perspective, you're kind of hoping you don't need Gomez, because if you need Gomez, it means you've got problems elsewhere. You hope there's enough games there, maybe whether it's the FA Cup, there's a chance he might bring him off the bench in this one just to get him a couple more minutes or whatever. Get into the summer and work out what you need to do with him. Right now, there's the three lads, and they're the ones who we're probably going to pick from.
I'm just going to say that. Yeah, I think it's a reset for Gomez in the summer. I think get a full pre-season behind him and then go again next season, depending on where his mind's at when the summer comes. But all four of our centre-backs, I think, get into most Premier League teams. They're just that good. It's a far cry from last season when we had Nat Phillips and Reece Williams lining up and getting us to the Champions League this season, which was absolutely ridiculous, by the way, but just far, far cry from it.
It is. It feels like it's just a mad world, isn't it? Where you sat there and go, oh, gosh, are we going to pick Matip? Or are we going to pick Canate? And Joe Gomez could probably, well, what worry about Gomez in 3 months' time when we get to the summer, instead of being like, oh, my God, anyone, please. Can anyone, you know, all the jokes of like, oh, Paul and Chris, can you play centre-half? Yeah. And here we are. In terms of the other positions and stuff, I thought it was really interesting, again, at the weekend, Dan Howe. In fact, we were going the game, my uncle gave us a lift, and he was going, oh, some injury problems in midfield. I'm going to struggle to put a midfield down. So then you looked at, not just the midfield, but the bench.
Yeah.
And it was like, Curtis was still there, and Milner was still there, and Ox were all on the bench, and that's not counting the three that actually made it into the 11. Be interesting to see what they do this time around, and whether he does look to freshen things up a little bit, or is there anyone there for you who you're like, he deserves to oust the midfield that started at the weekend?
Not in the midfield, if I'm being honest. I'm quite happy to see that same midfield. I mean, Klopp kind of panicked us all, didn't he, in the press conference prior to West Ham by suggesting that Keita and Jones were still doubtful.
Yeah.
And obviously they both feature, and obviously Keita starts the game. But for me, I don't see... I mean, Thiago, obviously we're going to touch on him in a minute, probably. He's still too doubtful for this, and he probably wouldn't start the game, even if he was fit. I think that midfield from the weekend, obviously Keita, Henderson, Fabinho, stays as is for this one. There's other departments whereby, particularly ahead of that, whereby we could talk about, but for me the midfield is strong enough.
Yeah, what about you? Yeah.
I think Curtis Jones might come in for Keita, just because I don't think he wants to play Keita for two games on the run at the moment, because he wasn't available midweek. And I think he's got a little bit more finesse about him than Keita. Something that we might need. The fact that he came on and then ran into the corner, although Milner told him to, he still had the head to go up there and go, yeah, let's just get this game closed off and let's get it finished.
It was one of my wonderful satisfaction moments where I was screaming and they go, corner flag. And he did it. Like he was celebrating it.
But it was Milner. If it wasn't for Milner, Curtis Jones is Cruyff turning inside around the shot. We know that.
Yeah.
We're aware of that.
The Curtis Jones stuff, I think, is quite interesting there, actually. Dan, because he had that brilliant first half in the week, and he was looked ready to really kick on, and it was so unfortunate that he gets the knock and the injury. I mean, obviously, I've actually not even mentioned Harvey Elliott in this as well. There's an opportunity. It's how we're going to manage this. I think he'll do this as professionally as possible, because I don't think it's worth a gamble. But there is a case that Brighton is the game that is, you know, that needs to be won, and whether we might see him just shuffling the pack a little bit. But to the point, you could easily see Curtis Jones come into this one. You could easily see Javier Lea come.
Yeah, you could. With either of them, I think they're both probably deserving of game time. I just don't see this being the game whereby they get it. I think Ian's point's a good one in terms of Curtis Jones's finesse, but Keita was outstanding on Saturday for me against West Ham, and I thought defensively he was really good as well, and we are going to need that, as much as I sort of talk glowingly about Liverpool's chances and hopes in this game, which I still believe to be true. We are going to have to work hard for it, and I'm not saying Curtis Jones can't do that, because he can. I just don't see this being a game whereby you give him that start. I think we've got games, like we talk about Joe Gomez, we've got games coming whereby he could easily come into side. We've got Watford at home in a couple of weeks, and we've got the FA Cup game in a couple of weeks. So for me, this is as strong as possible. Get the game done and then deal with Harvey Elliott, Curtis Jones from there.
And you've got the five subs option there as well, where you can do what you want. I tend to agree. I think it depends on his mentality on this. I see no reason why Fabinho, Hendo and Keita don't just go again in this. Mm-hmm. And but apart from a mentality which we won't be privy to around Keita, is that we are clearly getting greater change out of Keita than we have. We're getting a good old run of fitness and form out of him here. But we are also being careful in how in how we use him. And I can't see, I don't, he's not going to play the 90. But then again, he doesn't need to play the 90. And the only way I think he doesn't start this is if he's just thinking, you know what, I really want him for Brighton, so I'm going to put out, I'll maybe give him half an hour. I'll give Curtis 60, I'll give him half an hour, and then he starts again at the weekend. But kind of feels much for much. I wouldn't be asked if Oxlade-Chamberlain started this one. No.
Elliot starting the San Siro as well, obviously. Yeah. So there's all them options, but yeah, that has to be taken into account, the Keita stuff, obviously. But for me, it is what it is.
Yeah. Same. I still think I generally think Curtis Jones will come in. I just think, because if he wants Keita for Brighton and he plays him against Inter, I can't ever remember Keita playing three games on the run. Mm. So I think it'll be one or the other. Brighton or Inter.
Yeah, the only time he ever put a real run down was in like restarts, when he played, I think he fingered in every one of the games. Yeah. I think one of them was like a 9-minute sub appearance, but nevertheless, that was his most available period of and actually playing on the pitch. But yeah, I've got this sneaky feeling that you kind of, Thiago is obviously who we want, and they're trying to, and I think he's looking at Keita and going, I think he is the closest approximation in that, so they're trying to make sure that they can get him on the pitch as much as possible, so they're not undermining everything that they're trying to do, so that when Thiago does come in, he just slots in and the whole thing just goes up a notch. Diaz, I'm sure you spoke about him on the final word, because he was just an absolute joy to watch again, but he feels very much to me like he's earning his stripes. I think we saw that with that great run through the middle of the team. I think if it's any player other than Mohamed Salah making us on the shoulder in front of him, I think he just barrels towards goal. But I feel like there was a little moment of him going, can I play Salah in? Can I play Salah in? Can I play Salah in? I can't. Ah, right, okay, never mind, I've been brought down. I think he's still, he's thinking about the other lads that he's playing with a bit. And we saw this with Jota a bit in the first half of last season. At some point, he's going to become dead greedy, and he's probably going to score a million goals.
Yeah, and I don't think it's that far away either. I think at the latest, it's the start of next season, after he's had a full pre-season behind him, and he's played with the squad a lot more, and he's trained with them a lot more, and he knows their runs and they know his. I think he might sit out tomorrow night. You know, I think Jota might come in, and I think he might use Luis Diaz from the bench if needed, because again, we're 2-0 up against Inter Milan, and I know we don't want to be stupid, as we've said before, but that Brighton game just weighs so much, especially with it being Brighton away. We just can't afford to drop any points at all in the league.
I think what we saw at the weekend, Dan, was another example of the squad management with the front three. The fact that Salah comes off, actually, because we're having a little debate in the stands about it, of like, how do you take Mane off again? You know, if you continually persist with Mane being the one, it's like, what are you telling him? Whereas actually being able to say to Salah, no, come on, you know, it's your turn to get a little bit of rest here. But you know, he's at the moment, he's doing a good job, Klopp, I think, of managing the four guys. I'm not really sure how that works when Firmino comes back to availability again. That there's going to be some major questions asked, but instinctively to you, What does it feel like? What do you feel like the front three is likely to be in this one?
For me, it's Salah, Jota, Mane as well. I think Diaz, listen, I'm currently running the Luis Diaz fan club, but he's a thrill to watch, isn't he? But for me, he can also have a serious impact off the bench, which I'm not entirely sure. Jota does to a certain extent, but he simply can't bench Mohamed Salah. That's a no-brainer. But on that point, in terms of his management, I think that was really important what he did the weekend in terms of bringing Salah off, because Mane was obviously annoyed in the final when he came off, and it was slightly unfair because Salah had been crowded out of that game in a similar way he was crowded out against West Ham, actually. So to bring Salah off probably perked Mane up a little bit. He thought, oh, sorry, it's not just me. You know what I mean? happens to other people as well. You know what I mean? So that was probably really important and really nicely done, actually, from Klopp, I thought. But yeah, tomorrow night I'd go with that what I like to call the Atalanta front three now in terms of Mane, Jota and Salah. Especially every time we play an Italian side, that always comes back for some reason. That'd be me tomorrow night, because like I say, I think that's a really strong front three that's got goals in it for a start, which we haven't seen from Diaz yet. He's got one, obviously, but the end product is just lacking. But if you can throw him into the mix with half an hour to go, then when they're tired, dear me.
And this is how Jota came into the side, was Mane's playing really well, he's doing 60, 65, 70, and then Jota comes in and you don't see any drop off of level at all. And I agree in this, if you want to really make put a statement down here, that team that if you don't start in, the team is more than good enough. As you bet, the Atalanta 3 is more than capable of getting the business done. But getting Liverpool into the swing now of, because we've been a little unfortunate if you think about it, because obviously the Firmino injury is a thing, but Jota just getting injured before the final. We've actually been quite lucky that Diaz has come in at that time, because he's been able to pick up the slack, but we haven't quite been able to rotate everyone at peak fitness, whereas this actually might be now. Jota got a little rest at the weekend, Salah got a bit of a rest, Diaz is now up and running, where we could just theoretically, Ian, go, okay, Sam, 3-0. Oh, that's right. Let's just unleash Diaz and see what he can do on tiring into Man United.
And the other thing about Luis Diaz as well, he offers something completely different to what the others do. He almost offers what Mane first offers when he first came in, which is unpredictability.
Yeah.
He makes different runs to the other players that we've got. So if we're giving Inter Milan a ton of time and then they feel like they might be getting the feelers out and we're starting to control them a little bit, well, yeah, then go and deal with Luis Diaz, then go and deal with something a little bit different. Let's go and widen the game out a little bit and create a few extra spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just working out, how many positions are really up for grabs here, because it being Inter Milan, it being a big game, I mean, there's a chance we rest Hendo again, because, you know, we've been clearly trying to limit Henderson's minutes, and this might not be the worst idea. You know, you could see him start the six, and you could therefore see minutes for Oxlade-Chamberlain or Harvey Elliott and one of Jones and Keita. It wouldn't be the maddest shout ever. But it does feel like, because it's a Champions League game and it's a big game, the maximum it'll be one of the centre-halves. But I would imagine that if Matip's fit, he probably just will start. It's the left-sided midfielder.
Yeah.
And then it's either the centre-forward or the left winger. There's not lots of wiggle room in here, but let us know in the comments how that impacts your 11s. In fact, let us know your 11s and what you think they'll be and who you think the front three should be. We are going to go through our 11s and we're going to look at the other Champions League fixtures and get through some of your comments and super chats and the Club Legend Discord as well. After a very short break, I spoke to Neil Jones on this week's Journo Insight show, streaming on Red Men Plus, chatting about Liverpool and a potential involvement in a renewed, horror villain coming back from the dead, Super League, Neil.
Rugby.
Yeah, unfortunately not, because at the moment, it's not so big a story that if you type Super League into Google, the Rugby Super League doesn't still come up headline. Yeah. But we'll do some more of the Journo Insight from the Discord chat in a second. But CZ Red actually asked this: is there any chance that the Super League is happening with Liverpool involved, with them involved or not? How different will this be from the new proposal for the Champions League, etc.? It just feels like that today, this is really just come back up out of nowhere.
There's a conference being arranged by the Financial Times in London, so there's obviously people speaking. I think Javier Tebas, the La Liga president, Seferin, the UEFA president, have been speaking, so that's why it's on the agenda. I mean, does it surprise me that it's come back to the table now. I think everyone, when we spoke about it, said, you know, don't think you've sort of chopped the head off the beast. You know, there'll be something else coming at some point. Does it surprise me that it's happening now? Yeah, and to be honest, disgusts me that whoever, I don't think Liverpool are behind this assault of it. I don't think any of the Premier League clubs are. I think it's pretty clear the three main protagonists of it. I think it's disgusting that, you know, another coup is gonna happen in the world of football, when I think a lot of eyes should be distracted and are distracted by much bigger and more consequential events. I don't know. Liverpool aren't saying anything at the moment. I think the general feeling, I think the Telegraph, I think Sam Wallace wrote in the Telegraph that none of the Premier League clubs have any intention of returning to it. I think the story that you might have up on your screen there suggests that Tottenham and Arsenal have just been binned anyway. And there's only 10 clubs now as opposed to the 12.
Yeah.
And they're the two that have had the chop. Maybe someone's not scrolled that far down the league table.
Yep, check out the full Journo Insight show, streaming exclusively on Redmen Plus. If you want a big old chunk of that, we put some out on YouTube on the weekends. But yeah, we were talking about the future of Jürgen Klopp. We were talking more on the Super League stuff and a little bit about Nuno 11, who came to the forefront after the League Cup final. The guys working behind the scenes to make Liverpool sharper and more mentally strong. You could argue the people behind them, a whole mentality monsters thing being reborn in the last year or so. Yeah, that show every single week with Neil Jones. Get on it. Right, sound. I asked the question of the front three who start up front against Inter in our Club Legend Discord chat. Danny Hartree-Smith is our wonderful mod over here on YouTube as well, saying Sadio for sure, not biased or anything. Mo may want to prove something after the weekend. That's an interesting point. And Jit says, genuinely tempted to drop Salah and play Mane, Jota, Diaz. Wow. Maybe we just go with Mane, Jota, Salah though. Jota, Defo start. This one, and Matty Cater says Mane, Mo and Jota for me, lining up with what we've said so far. The Salah stuff's quite interesting, I think, Dan, because I think he's looked sharper than I expected him to. I think he's not toiling in front of goal at all, to overstate it, but I think he's not quite come back in the electric goal form. I think we need to be careful with him, because we know Salah, he wants to play every game. He's a supreme human being when it comes to fitness and stuff. I don't think there's any chance he doesn't play in this game, because I don't think you can tell Mo Salah he doesn't play Champions League games. But it will be interesting to see what we do with him in the coming weeks, because you want to make sure that by the time we get to that final month of the season, that he has got stuff in the tank.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'd just be a case of, like you say, being careful with him and being smart with the decision making around him. I think taking him off in games would be really important, particularly if we get into positions whereby games are done and dusted. For instance, tomorrow night, if we get two goals up tomorrow, that's 4-0 on aggregate. That's the point whereby you can say, okay, Salah, off you come now, get your 20 minutes. Because those sort of little intervals, obviously we know about all the zones that the fitness guys use, they're really important to give them their minutes break. Yeah. But for me, his form, he's got 4 goals, 2 of them penalties since he's come back from AFCON, obviously. And I don't think he has looked particularly at his sharpest, particularly in front of the goal, because obviously he has that huge chance early on against West Ham, which Mo Salah 9 times out of 10 scores. But for me, I said earlier on in the final word, I think opposition teams have done a really good job on him in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea, Anthony Rudiger in particular, did a really good job on him. I think he was too strong for him. I think he was too powerful, which is not a bad thing. Rudiger's a very good player.
Yeah.
And I think West Ham outnumbered him quite a lot on the weekend. I think often whenever Salah picked the ball up, he had 3 men on him straight away, which just created more room for the other players. So one of them things. I've seen a lot of criticism of Salah's performance. Obviously someone there thinks he should be potentially dropped, which is everyone's entitled to opinion. But for me, no, I think teams are playing well against him. Not a particular concern about his form.
I don't think Liverpool will have major concerns. I looked at him against West Ham, and yeah, I think everything has been said is sort of right, but it's just how unplayable he is and how much attention he draws and how he just has everyone around him on strings at all times. You know, his close control is better than I've ever seen it. And these are the kind of games where all of a sudden Salah scores a brace, and then he'll go and score at the weekend, and then he'll score in the next game, and then you've the better. What I'm kind of driving at here is if he's in a slump, and I'm not really sure he is, the best players in the world, you just play them through, and he'll just continue to be.
I was just going
to
say, he'll just play himself out of it. He'll just play out of whatever dip and form this is. He scores that first goal in the first minute against West Ham, and the one that miscontrols, the conversations are completely different.
Yeah.
You've got to remember, he went to AFCON where he was, the whole team was on his shoulders. Yeah. He's had the final disappointment. He's had to come back. The team that won it, their main player is in the actual same squad as him back in the Premier League, and Mane. So he has to look at Mane every day, beat him to that trophy, yeah, which is going to affect you slightly, isn't it? You know what I mean? Especially when you come off a game.
Well, telling Sadio Sora how sad he was and went, please don't mention it.
Yeah,
but, he's just won one of the trophy that he's always wanted to win. Yeah. It's like the greatest achievement in his entire career. He's like, feel a bit sorry for me.
Klopp's like that, him, don't mention it.
Yeah.
Faulty towers going on.
It's a lot like the Mo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Don't mention the AFCON.
You're right. Yeah, sad. Right, well, let's have a little quick look at the fixtures. Actually, just started before we do, actually, the lineup last time, just whether it informs anyone's decisions when we played into first leg. Alisson, Robertson, Van Dijk, Konate, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Thiago, Fabinho, Elliott. So obviously Henderson didn't start that one. Mane, Jota, Salah. So yeah, let me know your 11s and what you think the Reds should be starting at Anfield Tuesday night. In terms of the other Champions League games, then also playing on Tuesday, Bayern and Salzburg finally balanced at a 1-1 aggregate in that so far. Wednesday, see City, who have absolutely just basically ended the Sporting Lisbon as a sporting institution 5-0 up. That will be a procession if ever there was one. Real Madrid PSG I think is really interesting, Dan, because that was a big opportunity for PSG at home,
mm-hmm,
to really go and, you know, and put the tie to bed and what have you. And you would imagine PSG will still be able to do that at the Bernabeu, mm-hmm, but Real, I don't know, I think Real played to stifle big time the other week, and whether this is the game where they go, okay, Sam, we'll let the shackles off and we'll go make it a game. I think this is going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think that's definitely game on, because I agree with you. I think Real Madrid and Carlo Ancelotti obviously would have took 1-0 given, yeah, the way they played in that first leg there. They would have been made up with a 0-0 draw. That was quite clearly the plan, but 1-0's far from game over there.
Yeah, yeah, agreed.
Yeah, the same. This is the season that PSG will want to push on, and they'd want to be a season, I think, more than any time before. This is the season that it matters most, the Champions League, to PSG and City. And I think that'll be, let's be honest, PSG don't got much competition in their league, have they? So
it's a real opportunity for Real there, again, in front of their own fans, mm-hmm, to show the whole European pedigree thing. I think we fell a bit foul of it last year, yeah, being in far more trying circumstances for what we were trying to do and where we were in our season. But yeah, they'll have I think that's going to be a real, like, blood and thunder, you know, Real Madrid, you know, we'll see, because all the things we said about them last year, oh, they're a bit old and a bit past, look, they're still the same team from 5 years before, blah blah blah, but there's something about that works in European football. And the thing about PSG is that undercurrent of, like, Messi's not been great,
no,
and they don't really like Pochettino very much as well, and all the pressure is on him, of course, and he will be feeling that acutely as well, that you've been handed the keys to the greatest car you've ever had in your entire life, and you're, yeah, never likely to get, and can you get over the finish line with it? Fascinating stuff. Obviously, we're a week away from the rest of the return legs. United is still at 1-1 with Atletico Madrid. Ajax Benfica is at 2-2. Juventus Villarreal is at 1-1, and Chelsea take a 2-goal lead to Lille as well. We've had some breaking news, actually, while we've been doing this. Jürgen Klopp's been doing his pre-match press conference for this game. I have got a tweet up from our good friend Neil Jones of the aforementioned Journo Insight with Neil Jones show. Jürgen Klopp says, Thiago, Firmino and Matip all trained yesterday. Not sure exactly. We have to see how they react. Thiago's fine. I think Joel is fine. Bobby, it makes sense probably to give a few more days training. Wow.
Can't see my smile when you say that.
Oh, mate. I mean, in that scenario, then, particularly someone like Thiago, Dan, there's maybe something there where I don't think he starts this by any stretch, but it'd be nice just to go 15 minutes at the back end, get him back out and get him up and running, because if we can keep him fit for the rest of the season, he's as pivotal to what we're trying to do as Salah or Van Dijk or Alisson.
Yeah, of course he is, for many reasons. Obviously, his quality being sort of the main one. But also, I said it before on the show, his serial winner, his mentality. He's been there, he's done it, Champions League, whatever the format, he's done it over and over again. Getting him back involved like you, I don't think he starts tomorrow by any stretch of the imagination. But if we can get him sort of 15, 20 minutes and maybe replace Keita, who we've already spoke about managing his minutes, to get Thiago back up and running for what's to come, it's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Lewis Howes sent a super chat in saying, up for the game tomorrow, best pre-match pint. Where do you go for your pre-match bevies?
Oh, where do we go? I go the halfway house. You're onto it. On like the bottom
on
road.
On Walton Road?
Yeah, down the bottom. Down the bottom. Sort of down the hill from Anfield.
Sandon. You'll not have a bad time in any of the pubs around Anfield, to be perfectly honest.
12 man sound as well.
Yeah, definitely. No shortage of good bevies. If anyone's got their favourite, if anyone's got a lucky pub, let us know in the comments.
We'll all go there.
Anyone got a lucky boozer? It definitely helps to know those kind of things. I think a little bit of course knowledge and all that good stuff. Sad. In terms of the 11, then, so. Alisson, Trent. Kanate, Van Dijk, Robbo, Fabinho, Henderson,
Curtis Jones for me,
Keita for me,
I'll go Keita, left wing, Mane, centre forward, Jota, and Salah, okay, if you've got any problems with that whatsoever, unlucky, you're just gonna have to live with them. Actually, we had one comment actually, which I think ties us in neatly as well. That someone saying, "Are you streaming the Klopp press conference?" We are not, but we've finally been able to sort it out. So we have got all of Jürgen Klopp's pre and post match press conferences moving forward from here. Actually, that will be up a little bit later on. So if you missed it live, we'll be uploading it after the fact on YouTube in video form and in podcast form as well. So wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Spotify or Acast or iTunes or whatever, the Klopp press conference will be in full. And whoever the player is that they put up for the Champions League one, that should be up there as well from now and for the rest of the season and moving into next season as well. And just want to make a point on this, because someone said, "Oh, is this legit, or have you started nicking this?" And back in the day, like, I literally used to like film the BBC website with my camera on the laptop screen. But no, it is legit. Because I always said, and people always said, like, what do you do? And obviously we call it Redmen Plus now, but I always said, if everyone who subscribes to us on YouTube, and that's coming up on 500,000 people, if you all subscribed to Redmen Plus, I promised, and I've said this for years, that I would put in a bid for Premier League rights. Like, I will put in a bid for Liverpool, to get Liverpool games, access to full Liverpool game streaming, because we will have the financial clout to do that. We haven't made it there yet, but this is the first step towards where domination is, because of the people who've joined Redmen Plus and those wonderful people who support what we do. We can actually afford to legitimately pay for the press conferences and stuff like, so yeah, another step along the path to what Redmen, I have always hoped Redmen could be, and that is the only home of Liverpool Football Club. We're going to put LFC TV in the mud, we're going to put Sky in the mud, and BT, and they're going to go the way of Satanta Sport if I have my way, and ITV Digital. That's the way we're going to
get your hands in your pockets.
If you want more content from us in the meantime, don't just think of it as a free donation. We give you loads of extra stuff. I've mentioned the JNO Inside Show. We've got tons of documentaries, features, podcasts galore, additionally to all the free stuff we put out on YouTube. But yeah, get over to Redmen Plus on the redmentv.com. That would be absolutely lovely. Score prediction before we go, Dan.
3-0.
2-0.
3-1 to Liverpool. Boo.
That's not the one I go for, 3-1. I might miss the 3-1.
I don't think I can believe that. I put myself on the spot and I asked the question. Right, Sad, we're going to wrap up there. Thank you so much for joining us for the build-up show. Starting 11 will follow. There'll be a watch-along on Tuesday night as well. And a whole host of amazing content, of course, over on Redmen Plus. Don't forget to check out the Jürgen Klopp press conference. It'll be up a little bit later on as well if you want to watch that in full or listen to it in full. And other than that, gents, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. And hopefully the Reds can smash their way past Inter into the Champions League quarterfinals. Ta-da.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.